Hello, hello everyone. I feel like I need to start a different way because I have someone here, but I think it's I can say you're a very special guest because not often I have people that I know so well, or I feel like I have much longer or a deeper connection than usual. So it's really exciting to have with me Val, and oh my God, it's like what everything I can say. A super nice, super smart, very intelligent person, human being, very kind, very warm, and doing some amazing stuff out there in the world in digital transformation, but also with humans, and doing her own life and fun and dancing and so many other things. So I'm really excited to kind of dig deeper into who you are. How did you become who you are? And where is all going? And yeah, learn a little bit more about, because I can now, because you're on my podcast, learn a little bit more about your aspirations, goals, and also how do you see the people around and the market changing. So we can have a lot of different topics today, but welcome to my podcast, Val. And yeah, I'm so excited to start this.
Thank you so much for having me, Alex. Wow, what an intro. Right back at you.
Thank you. So everyone, just to let now who I am. Well, no, thank you very much. I'm really excited. So well, look, it's I think it's very impressive you what you do first of all in business. What do you do with your clients? And it's impressive that you work with your partner. That's wow. That's another thing because there is coming with a lot of challenges. I can only imagine. And there's a lot of other stuff that you are passionate about. So let's start maybe a weird question. What keeps you inspired right now?
What keeps me inspired right now? I knew this would be the most interesting podcast question that I would ever get. So, way to start, Alex. I think one of the things that keeps me looking for more and more, I'd love to say answers, but we don't really find answers. Keeps me more and more curious is this duality between the feminine and the masculine energies in business, in the sense that sometimes I feel like there is a preconception or a bias that in order to be successful, we need to be in our masculine, always doing, achieving, keeping the deadline, doing all of the things all at once. And I am very much trying to navigate where that is true and where that is not true for each individual, because it is different for each individual, right? So where is that true and not true for me? And where can I shape my efforts and my intention every day a little bit differently rather than running on autopilot? And that keeps me inspired and curious and always looking for answers.
I love that. And wow. Okay. Wow. I didn't expect that was an amazing answer. Honestly, it's like, wow. So I have a few questions for that because, when I'm thinking digital transformation, right? So when you're just thinking digital, when you're thinking technology and data, I'm sure, analysis, we can talk about a lot of different things. So that's very masculine, right? Like very masculine energy. So I will be curious, like, I love your curiosity. I love that, you're curious. So that inspires me because it is something, right? Like we want to find out, we want to learn, we want to know. But
Yes.
how do you maybe then manage, like that balance between masculine and feminine when you already started? It's your fault.
Yeah. Yes. So as far as curious and learning new things, for me, what has worked is I probably would spend all my day learning new things and exploring and being curious. So I brought in the masculine in the way of I have a time block every day where I learn and I read and I watch a YouTube video or listen to a podcast or read a book, whatever that may be. And that's my learning curiosity time. I can use it whichever way I want. From a project perspective and working with teams, I think it's almost the same. It's about, yes, what we do is very technical. Digital transformation can be very technical, but lately as I try to really map out and document what it is that I do and how it is that I do it, in trying to bring another person into the business to help me with delivering our services, I'm noticing more and more that there is so much that I can't explain or put it to paper into a checklist. And how do I know that's just the right thing to do at that time? And how do I read the person in front of me? And that's the feminine side.
Yeah,
So
absolutely.
I'm still playing with how to document that. I guess the real answer is finding someone that has a little bit of that already in themselves, that has that emotional awareness. And because at the end of the day, anyone can learn to do what we do. It's
Yeah.
not hard, especially these days where knowledge is everywhere. It's just how we utilize it.
Yeah, and I love what you said because I think that's a very great combination of that masculine, because that almost like that skill, right? Like skill you can build up, you can learn new things. You always learn new technology, basically. That's kind of now the part of our life every day. But I love what you say because I think that's the hardest part in the training of other people, right? Or bringing new people on board. Because that's like, to me, that was the hardest part to find the energy, the personality for the role, and understanding that personality, and being aware of where they fit as well with their skills and competencies, and also what they love. Because sometimes people say to you like, "Yeah, I'm prepared. I want to jump in and I will do this role," but you realize that's not for them, right? Like they actually mismatch the roles, and that happens million times when you talk to clients. They are running the team already, and they said, "Ah, oh, this guy is the highest performer, and let's put him into management position or leadership position." And you're like, "No, don't make that mistake. That's your best salesperson. He is just best where he is because he loves that. He's not going to do well there." Right? So it's almost like how do we navigate that hard kind of jump to the next level, next change in the business? But I would like to ask you, because I know you navigate or help other businesses as well, to move through different stages. And I love when you describe your stages, and where the technology is part, or when you need to kind of upgrade the technology and look at actually if that is the right process and tech for your growth. But how do you do that in your own business? Like, let's say, where are you at from that perspective of stages, and how are you going to navigate probably that challenge? Oh, next.
Yeah, that's a really good question. So, as far as stages, the way we speak about it in terms of business growth and scaling, I'm kind of mixing up multiple, as often we do, I'm mixing up multiple different philosophies. So, Vern Harnish and all the different stages of growth. I simplified it to start up, grow up, scale up. And then enterprise, and then you can either plateau, you can fall down the cliff and essentially perish as a business, or you reinvent yourself and you really dial it up. And that's sort of the decision point. I'd say at the moment in this business, we are in the grow up stage. We're not yet at scale, definitely. We're fully and squarely in the grow up, and we're actually experiencing some of the pain points that we see some of our clients experience as far as tech and growth and making sure that the right people are in the right seat. And as you mentioned, where we come into play is usually in the transition, in the transformation points, in those liminal spaces between how a company was and what got them so far. And how they need to change and transform to become something greater than. And I love what you mentioned, Alex, in terms of yes, the business needs to be transformed, but also each individual in the business needs to be transformed. And we need to take them with us on that journey. And some of them may want to go, some of them may think they want to go. And then when faced with reality, they think again. And some others just don't want to go with us. And we have to accept that that is part of growth. And yeah, try to navigate that with grace.
And I love that, like, you're always being humble, and you're always looking at that kind of business and working with people, or getting clients. Everything was kind of not from the normal perspective. Like, it is how it is. We know what needs to be done now, and yeah, we need to maybe take a pause, and yeah, maybe this will hurt us a little bit, but this needs to be changed. So I love how you're approaching and navigating business, because sometimes people don't pause and don't take kind of care or don't really look at the business from helicopter view, right? Like there are so much in day to day, and they try to navigate the growth or scale up, but it's not possible without pausing and without looking at that, like how actually this looks like what actually needs to change, because it has to change, like you said, right? Like you're trying to change, or you're trying to navigate how that feminine and masculine works together for you as a person. And when you look at business is a person, right? It's a human being. Without those human beings around, there would be no business. So I
That's
don't know.
right.
I was just talking to someone this morning, and I said, why do we think about business as a business anyway? Like it always was about people, and always is, and there is no other way, because it's not going to happen alone by itself. So I love that you kind of, looking at that, how to actually approach it the way with people. So maybe the question is that, because that, I think that's a little bit of feminine, right? Like when you need to really look at the personalities and how take people on board, and how to, take them to these towards this beautiful vision and things that you want to build. Because not everybody wants to build your business, right? So they need to feel like they're part of it. Yeah. And I think that's the hard part, right? Like the question is, how can I make them to, buy into my vision? How can I make them to be the way that I want them to be? And I know there's naturally, of course, some of them disappear, but how do you navigate that? Because you have the technology, right? You have the digital transformation, so that has to change. Now you have to make people to do it and follow the transformation and follow the new tech, right? And that's the hardest part. Like, I don't like to learn new tech, and you have all these people. And they are resisting, and they're like, oh, another step and another thing. And it's normal, right? Like they're resisting. So how do you navigate that part?
Yeah, that's a beautiful question. And I guess I can answer it in a philosophical way and in a tactical way.
Oh, yes,
So
oh, I
let's
love
just go for both.
that.
So I guess from a philosophical perspective, how we manage change and adoption, technology adoption would be the same way that I would recommend business owners manage any type of change or convincing your team to build your business with you, not for you, but with you, right? Because as you said, not everybody wants to have their own business, and they therefore they become a part of somebody else's business. But then how do you encourage them to treat that business as if it was their own and put in their efforts in it? And to me, they're one and the same. And the answer is really involving the team as early as possible whenever there's any decision, and helping them take ownership over their own little piece of it. So as leaders, I was actually talking the other day with someone on this. We were trying to define what a leader should be, and should they be a hero taking the decision and coming in and rescuing the day and deciding everything and teaching everybody? Or should they be a host who welcomes the team in and sort of crafts this experience? And I sat with it for a little bit. Funnily enough, the older leaders thought more in terms of a hero, and the newer, younger generation thought more in terms of a host. And I'm sitting thinking about it. It's almost a pendulum swing, and the balance is often found somewhere in the gray area. And so the image that came to me was this image of a harbor. So a harbor is a protected space. So the element of hosting and creating a safe space for growth is there. And there is a structure to it. And there is a harbor master deciding which ships come in, which ships go out. And yet it's also a place of holding with an open hand, because the ships leave, they go on an adventure, they learn something new, they practice, and then they come back and they say, oh, I've been to China and I've learned this. I've been to India and I've learned this. And so to me, leadership and taking people through a process of change is the same as building a team that builds the business with you. Because more often than not, you're building the plane as the plane is taking off when you start a business. And so you need your team with you in those terms, especially in the early days. So that's a philosophical answer. The tactical answer is, again, going back to involving your team. Whenever there's a change upcoming, communicate it as early as possible. So business leader will decide there's a change coming. First of all, I would say consult with the team, get their perspective on whether this change is needed or not. Irrespective of what the final decision will be, the simple act of asking for their perspective will A, make them feel like they're part of the solution, and B, also provide the leaders with additional perspective they maybe didn't have before,
Yeah.
and will make their decision richer. And then at every step, essentially, it's a rinse and repeat of this concept. How can we gather their perspective, keep them informed and engaged, and how can we give them ownership of a small piece of it, while keeping the structure of I am the leader, I am deciding that this is what's happening in my business. Very long answer, but does that paint a
I love it.
picture?
I love the harbor. Yeah, I love descriptive and like kind of, because you can imagine that, right? Like harbor and welcoming harbor, you know, like you're coming in and out. And I love that as well. I can see the philosophical part very important because your team should be, you know, sending them out there, go and fail or go and do, and actually allow them to, you know, just do it without pressure while they're learning something, because everything what they learn on the way, they come back and actually it's add value to your business, right? So when I was thinking about that, someone told me that, or we were running the session. So when you look at how people learn the most, it's actually through failure or mistakes, right? And the other part is through doing. And only 17%, I think, was from actually reading, listening, and all that. So when you think about that learning part, so how much you can actually win if you don't just try, right? Sometimes just try and do it. So I love that, and it's definitely great metaphor or example. So I will be curious because, okay, so taking the team, I think, like you said, you know, taking the team towards your vision and try to make them to really be interested in building the business. I super agree. It is about, you know, consulting almost with them, right? Really communicating and not telling them what to do, but asking them what we should do, right? I think because people usually ask questions. So, okay, you said take responsibility, make them take responsibility, but how? And I'm thinking, how is the simplest answer is to actually let them say what we need to do. Because the moment you as a person, as a human being, say we should go to this restaurant, right? So you feel responsible when you choose bad restaurant, right? You feel bad. Logically, when you say that I will take you somewhere, I want that to be the best experience. And if I fail, it's okay. I will just tell you, you know what? I should probably try it before I took you there, right? And that's okay. You know, so that exactly what business and responsibility is, right? Like we are responsible for our decisions, and most people naturally are in a personal life. So that's the same reflection in the business. So I like that, and I think that's the simplest answer, right? So I would be curious now, because I know you can run your business, you take people on board, like you can retrain them, you can transform digital trans implement digital transformation for any business. But there is this persona, right? When we talk about like, okay, so business is actually a human being, it's not really business. So who do you need it to become while doing this business? Because I'm sure there were so many things at the beginning, and you are probably a totally different person. And I can tell, even, you know, knowing you, when I started to, like, I don't know, have first chat video, you are different now because you're learning, right? Like you're growing so much. So yeah, I will be curious. So, who you were before and who you needed to become.
Who I was before and how much time do we have?
All of the time.
I think, and you'd see that a lot in your business and in the interactions that you have with your team and with clients and with anyone you meet, really. I think we become a brand new person almost every day. We only really notice when a stretch of time has passed and all those micro changes have stacked up to become noticeable, which is why it's really good to do a quarterly reflection so that you can actually look back and see how you've changed. I think awareness is the thing that has changed the mo that has moved the needle the most.
Oh, good.
And it's a very it's a bit of a, again, it's not very practical and tactical, but without awareness, you can't really analyze what is happening, how we are reacting when someone, for example, states something and we get a reaction in our body. Without awareness, we can't know, first of all, that that is happening. Secondly, we can't catch it, and we can't have an opportunity to change our reaction. Or our response more than our reaction.
Yeah.
And so awareness to me would be the biggest piece that has changed in the past few years to take me from where I was to where I am today. And it's an ever deepening skill, right? There is no, I've arrived. As soon as you know yourself, in the process of knowing yourself, you have changed because you now have a new awareness of who you are, and therefore you are a different person. So you have to start the process of knowing yourself all over again.
I love it.
For example, in the previous business we were leading, you mentioned I do work with my husband, and in the previous business, we didn't have a really good working relationship, and one of us eventually had to leave that business, and the other one stayed because it just wasn't working, and it was due to a number of factors, but primarily, there was a competitiveness happening, and it was if I am right, therefore you are wrong, and it was not good for anybody, for us first and for the team second, right? Whereas right now, I think about it more in terms of it's a partnership, and therefore it's like two horses pulling a carriage. One may be a little bit bigger and a little bit stronger, and one may be a little bit skinnier but have better sense of direction. Whatever the analogy may be, it's about finding and respecting the strengths that the other person brings and also the weaknesses, because I know I have a number of weaknesses and I'm aware of them. And I am aware that my husband has got the opposite strength that balances that weakness beautifully. And so the trick is to be able to be aware of what's happening and allow something uncomfortable to unfold, because I know it's for the greater ultimate good of the partnership.
Yeah, I love that. So, I love what you said, and I truly believe, of course, from my point of view, I will be saying, wow, that's most important, right? And it's so many problems become actually bigger problems, or they are usually more problems in the businesses where are two partners, or even husband and wife, or two business partners. That's usually a lot of traction. But I want to know how this awareness and again the second step of awareness about that partnership and strengths and weaknesses, how that actually impacted your business and your life.
Definitely, there is more in life. There is more calm, which is always useful. There is more calm, and there is more. I think you said earlier the words that business leaders don't often look at their business from a helicopter view, and in a sense, it's the same way from a communication between two human beings who are trying to achieve something together, whether that is cook a meal or run a business. It's almost stepping outside of the duality of the interaction and looking at it from a bird's eye view and witnessing the interaction happening at the same time that it is happening. And that brings a sense of calm, and control isn't the right word. I'm thinking what the right word is. It's not control, but it's you see the pattern of what is happening.
It's almost like you having that under control. The feeling is
Yes.
that, yeah, the
The feeling
energy.
is control, yes, but it's not out of a desire to control the other person or to control the outcome. But there is an element of
That
awareness and
safety.
control. Safety. And then I guess from a business perspective, and again, going a little bit more tactical, it translates into things such as if we know our strengths and our weaknesses, we're going to put the best person for that particular task in that seat. So for example, we've discovered I am really good with crowds and with on whether they're online or in person, I'm good with big crowds. Whereas Dorian, my husband, he is really good on one-on-one conversation, and he has this beautiful, calm, authoritative tone. And when he records to camera, it really comes across beautifully. Whereas when I record to camera, I get a little bit flustered. I don't really enjoy it because the human on the other side is missing.
And I
And
think,
so, yeah, he takes the lead on those, and I find ways to work around my idiosyncrasies.
No, I think that's perfect, right? Like we can't be great in everything, and the major thing is that you recognize, what is your strength, what is Dorian's strength. And I think that's beautiful to have also that respect, between each other and balance and really trying to help each other instead of competing with each other. I think that's great. And look, our competition is great, but not really in partnership, right? Like especially when you are with husband, it's a little bit putting the perspective into toxicity a little bit more. Like it's becomes very, very toxic environment, I think, at home. And even though it's nice to have a little bit of like healthy competition, like, hey, let's go for who's going to be fast. Of course he's going to be fast, these men, especially when he's a good runner. So that's kind of really hard. But when you look at some other stuff, it can be some games and stuff. So you can, but in reality, we should be always complimenting each other, right? So I think that's nice.
And you would see that a lot, I'm sure, Alex. And I really, truly have come to understand it in the last few years. I appreciate how difficult it can be as a woman growing up and being told you can achieve, you can do everything, you can go to university, you can be a CEO. And it almost becomes you should be a CEO. And it
Yeah.
almost becomes you should be your own man. And that creates such an imbalance. And again, I think everybody needs to find their own way to interpret this. It's a pendulum, but I do feel that growing up, at least for me, growing up in Italy, society has had kind of swung a little bit too far with that pendulum on the side of as women, we do not need men, which I
Yeah.
don't believe it is true, going back to the
Yeah.
partnership. And so you would see that a lot, I'm sure.
It's so much in Western society, especially now. Like it's not, I don't know, it's too much appreciation, and I will say something that will hurt some people and that will be angry. And I'm not meaning that, but it's almost like we're talking about masculine energy and toxicity, but I think it's feminine toxicity, right? It became the transformation of feminine into more masculine, too much masculine. And I think it's almost like we're using feminine when it's working for us, and then we use masculine when it's working for us, and it becomes very toxic because we are blaming each other, right? So I feel like people forgot that we both have masculine and feminine energy. Like we have both, right? So whoever you are, if it's male or female, I think we forgot about that balance, and I think you're right. Right, it was more pushing the female. And I understand that. Like when you're going to that, society where female still have, not, many rights, or they still suffer, they still can't have jobs, or they can't work. There is a lot of things happening, not only politics but also religion, and all that. I think that's where the feminism has a place, but in this modern society where we are basically just changing how the world operates, I don't think we need too much of feminism. But I think that this podcast, when it goes out, oh my God, it will be everywhere. Like, how you can say it, Alex? But I think it's true. I honestly think that the healthy goal, for fighting for us, is kind of disappeared. And it becomes a little bit unhealthy. So I hope the society will wake up, at least on that side. But back to business, and back to, this beautiful feminine and masculine, and balancing and transforming. I love that you are aware, right? Like everything what you're talking about, it comes back to awareness, because you always mention, like, I know what is the impact of how I was raised, and all these things. So you became very aware, and probably the question is, I asked you what you became, but what was the biggest transformation that you needed to happen for a successful business? Maybe like, old self with this kind of personality or this kind of things wouldn't be able to maybe go through all stages of that business growth and scale up and actually grow different businesses. Like, what was maybe there was bottleneck, or there was something that needed to change?
Well, look, I think if I go, and let me know if I go too far backwards. If I go back to a few previous lives, when I was in Italy, one of my first interaction with the world of business and work was at 14, I started working in a villa, in a restaurant. In Italy, right? My aunt was a chef and co-owner, and so as you do, you go and help your family. And slowly through that, I started managing events, not just serving plates on the table as you do, which, you learn to care for the guest and you learn to create an experience. But then I started organizing events and taking on that masculine aspect a little bit more. And at the same time, I was trying to start my own business in Italy, which didn't quite work out. Therefore, we moved to Australia. And I think that was the very first transformation is we need to let go of, we need to recognize of how we grew up and what are the forces that shaped us. And then we need to decide who do we want to become. And for us, changing country was probably the very big fulcrum of that change happening, because you cannot avoid it when you move to a new country, as you know, it's unavoidable. And probably the second one was moving from an employee mindset, although we always had this, both of us really, desire of building a business together with someone else. So it didn't matter who owned it in on paper. We were still working really hard to build it together with them. But then there was a second shift that became, I can't do this anymore. I can't build someone else's dream anymore. And I have to, and almost, and now that I think back on it, all of those changes were very sudden. I probably ignored, I didn't have as much awareness back then. So I probably ignored all the signals and ignored all the red flags until they became so big that they were unavoidable. So I had to leave Italy. I think we decided to leave in the space of a month. And when I decided I'm not going to work for someone as an employee anymore, again, I think it took even less than a week to take that decision. And I just quit and I had nothing ready to go.
Yeah, love
And
it.
then opportunities just showed up. And I think one of the secrets is that I created that emptiness. And without creating the emptiness, while staying in a safe current situation, it is, I'm not saying impossible, but maybe harder for new opportunities to present themselves and for us to be able to take them fully because our foot is still in the other boat.
So into
And so,
disconnect. Yeah.
yes, so emptiness is
Yeah.
probably a quality of those changes. And maybe with higher awareness, those red flags would show up, a little bit earlier, and maybe it's a more gradual transition. Could be a chicken and egg situation. But it's funny that I never noticed this. And then yeah, the transition was, I believe in my own capabilities enough that I don't know what the next thing is, but I know I can figure it out.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. And I think I would probably ask you, because this is really like this excites me, because you mentioned that for the first of all, you said you made decision, right? Like making decision is the most important part, but also you made very sudden decisions, right? So I want to know if any of those decisions were almost like you knew something has to change and you knew you have to go, or like it was intuition, you know? So was that intuitive, a decision?
Looking back, probably I would say yes, but in the moment it didn't feel like that.
Of
Again, because
course.
I
It
didn't
was
have that
scary, probably.
awareness. The only one that did feel like that is was very recent, probably about a year ago, about 13 months now. It was probably the first time that I did take an intuitive decision and I listened to it while being aware that that was happening. And it was a decision of going back to Italy for a couple of weeks for my grandfather's passing while running the business, while keeping it all going. And normally the noise in the brain, the clutter in the brain would say, no, that's not possible. You've got client appointments, you've got projects to keep running. The time zone is almost 12 hours different. How is that going to work? But I guess that was the first time where something else shifted, and I did take the decision with the awareness that it was just an intuition that I needed to follow, which is, again, very
Love
new to me.
it. Love it. I love the story, so I already have goosebumps, so please continue. So, because I'm curious how that plays a role, right? Because we talk about In business, first of all, you need to have awareness. You mentioned that, right? Like you create emptiness so you can make decisions, you can move forward. You know, you're stepping away from something, then you're stepping to new. You need to create that space because in that space, when you're cluttered, you can't really progress in one direction, right? So I love all that stuff and what you're learning about yourself, how you grow. But I think the next step I always see next step is always for us to master that intuition because our inner knowing and knowledge inside of us, right? Our subconscious, we know things, but we don't have time in that busyness, you know, to follow it. And you follow that. And I want to know, like if you don't want to share, of course, the whole story, it's fine. But how that makes the result, you know, like when you compare the result with analytical mind, I make decision with analytical mind, A or B or black and white, like I, you know, just follow the analytics or data. And what is the difference when you actually follow your intuition? Like when you look at an impact. Like, I will be curious.
I guess it's almost impossible to describe, but I will do my best. I think it goes back to that word that I was looking for before, which is not control. I think it's power, maybe.
Yeah,
And I will get to the right word maybe by the end of the interview. It's a confidence, it's a solidity in like being a tree. That's the impact of following a decision like that and seeing it unfold to a positive outcome. And it's almost creating a sixth sense to look out for those moments, for those signals, and being like a radar that's always scanning and looking for the beep to show up, to follow that. And it doesn't happen every day for sure, but when it does show up, it is really powerful to follow it, and it's extremely scary.
Yeah,
And
I agree.
it's extremely scary. And maybe for those, and I guess maybe another piece of the puzzle for those who might be listening and going, "What? This only makes sense in Val's brain." The way that I translate it into something more tactical, and I speak to a lot of leaders in these terms, is you might be on a bicycle pedaling really, really fast and trying to move quickly, but we have to slow down so we can speed up later. We have to stop pedaling the bicycle, get off the bicycle, stop in the middle of the street, build a Ferrari, and then jump into the Ferrari and drive. And the space between stopping the bicycle and staying stationary long enough to build that Ferrari to then jump on is extremely scary, and it's creating that emptiness and that transition. But it is so powerful because the outcome that you get when you do jump into the Ferrari is without compare. You'd still be cycling really, really fast and sweating and becoming really tired. It's the same thing. It's just a different analogy to maybe make it a bit more concrete.
Yeah,
And
love it.
yeah, I think the emptiness and the pausing and the slowing down is what's really, really scary because there's no guarantee on the other side
Yeah,
that is
absolutely.
gonna work.
Yeah, because you build up Ferrari and you're not sure if that is Ferrari, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so, I love it. And I love the metaphor because I think so many times, because I'm always trying to explain people the power of progress is in stillness, right? And I love, because I will probably steal your metaphor. So everybody is now witnessing this. I
Please
already.
do. I give full rights.
Because it's great, right? Like it's great that, yes, we need to pause. We need to be brave enough. I think that's the thing. We need to be brave enough to say no to everything what is going on because we build up the life on something that now further is not going to work. Like it's not going to take us any further, right? Bicycle, you can probably just have, I don't know, 20, 40 kilometers in an hour. I don't know how fast they're going, right? But you just can't go 300 in an hour, right? So there is a limitation in everything. And I think sometimes we this is just comparison with business as well, right? Like sometimes we don't see that we reach the limit and we are not able to leverage anymore. And that's in a lot of service-based businesses, right? Because it's very hard to pause and be still and maybe even lose the business or, you know, lose the clients and let go of clients and decide to change the structure because everybody's building this first step in a business, a service-based business on the bicycle. right? And the hardest to me, the hardest time, hardest part of the business was when I realized that that can't reach more. The point is there. I'm making great money. That's awesome, and I'm feeling so rich. But I'm burnt out. I'm tired, and I work every hour of the day. And it was too crazy, right? But where in that space you can create the Ferrari or something like a new level of the business, you can't. You just need to stop, right? Because it is hard, and everyone talk, like when you look at the businesses that people they build up bigger businesses 20, 30 years ago, right? Because we are still kind of in a start on a start, but they always says that you need to start you start to lose money. You need to risk your profits. You need to probably pause and yeah, probably there will be hard time, but that time is the most valuable, right? Because you actually stop running on bicycle and you change everything. Like your behaviors, your tactics, your structure, your offers, and oh my gosh, like that is a lot, right? So I love that,
That's right.
yeah, because it's life, but in business as well. And I love when you talk about intuitive decision, because I think that's another thing that so many people, and you tell me what you think, but so many people know already. I'm sure that you're talking to your clients about that, right? They already know probably a year or two that they should scale up somehow, they should change the structure, but I can't, I don't have time because I'm still running this type of services, right? So I don't know, I can't find the time. But you see it from that helicopter view because you come into business and you're like, but you need to pause. Like you need to stop doing what you're doing. So that's the hard part. Like how do you do that, right? Because that's the hardest transition in a business. For me, it was definitely 6 months of losing slowly income, but but with inspiration and drive and happiness, like what's coming next. So I'm excitable, but not everybody is excitable, right? So
That's right.
what do you say when people are in that situation?
The
That's a
million dollar
lot.
question. I think it's really down to moving them away from the surface level solution. I need to implement AI in my business because we need to be more efficient, or
Well, because it's cool.
we, yeah, that's right. Or we need to save money because we're using too much software or whatnot. And just moving away from those surface level easy fixes and understanding that I always say it's a three-legged stool is technology, people, and process. You can't have a three-legged stool stand on one of the legs. It's going to topple. And it's the same thing with getting them to move from a reactive state of mind of and that is when someone is actually ready for change and they want something to change, but they're looking for a surface level answer. If we go a little bit earlier, even you could argue that there are certain businesses, as you say, they don't have time. They're caught in the day-to-day grind and it's just, we don't have the time to change. It's too big of a task. And how do you eat an elephant in small bites, right? So it's all down to usually I use analogies and I try to reflect back at them because typically people come to us for answers. As consultants and advisors, they come to us for answers. And this is where maybe we are not your typical consulting and advisory firm. Maybe we should be, but we're not. And we tend to reflect that back and ask, well, how can we give you an answer? The other day, someone came to us and wanted to know which software they should buy. And they wanted to engage with us for an hour or two of a workshop for us to give them the top software they should buy. And rather than explaining to them why that is not possible and trying to almost convince them, we simply mirrored it back to them and said, okay, we don't know you. We don't know your industry. You're an expert in your industry. We are not. We are experts in people, change, technology, digital, all of that. How can we possibly tell you which software to buy after an hour? And we asked them to answer that question. And that created the space for them to go, I don't know how to answer this question. That's actually right. It's almost trying to interrupt their pattern. They're cycling.
Because
I
there will
don't
be
know. I don't know what.
someone selling, someone straight away selling them something, they'll be like, oh, I have the best software for you. Well, do you?
Yes, exactly. But we all would love to have that answer. We are not immune either. We love the shiny object. We would love it if AI could fix our business and bring efficiency, but it can't. If it's messy to begin with, you layer AI on top, it's going to be
Faster, messy.
faster messy, exactly.
I just saw it. I was like, oh my God, I can see that clutter and that all of the things and broken things, and bad processes. When you double it up or 100 time it up, I don't know, 10x, whatever you do, but it just like explodes in this mess, right? Like you can see it even.
That's right. So that would be my answer. Just interrupt the thought pattern and reflect back at whoever I'm talking to and trying to get them to find the answer.
I love
Because
that.
it becomes logical once you stop. But if you're in the middle of the spiral, it's not easy.
No, that's great. I love that. And I love how you work with clients as well. I think that's really important that you actually respect them and you learn about them. And I think that's, like how you can give advice, just, oh, yeah, book me for an hour, I will give you advice. No, we can't give advice, we are in service. How we can be in service to be the smartest person in the room, we shouldn't. I always said when you have coaches and when you have, service providers, they just tell you what to do straight away without asking you questions, and they don't know who you are. That's probably not the right provider, I would say. And
That's right.
and I love how you work with people as well, as a major part of the process and technology, and you align all three kind of pillars of the change, because without one, without other, they don't have any change, any sense. So what, okay, so I can probably talk to you another 2 hours about, especially we started with feminine, masculine, we jump into awareness, we jump into change and transformation, we talk about business. Oh, it's so many things that I probably just will go back in the interview and listen. And probably at the end, because I would love to just give people a bit of overview. So firstly, because you're working in digital transformation, so what people should notice, I know we talk about the part when you're just running too much and you're too busy. So I think the first sign is you're too busy, you need to change something, right? But what else are maybe some other signs or red flags to actually pause and say, okay, wow, I'm just speak to Val and Dorian, like I need to do something and I need change.
Red flags to watch out for. Definitely, work gets missed. Clients are unhappy. Projects, tasks, you always seem to be chasing them, and there is no visibility and no clarity over how is the business operating, where are we at. We might need a lot of meetings with different departments to get an update on what's happening. Sales doesn't have visibility on marketing, doesn't have visibility on delivery team. Another one we always look for is high staff turnover in key roles. And usually those key roles are operations. So an ops manager or an OBM or a COO. If there's high turnover there, someone comes in and stays for 3, 4, 6 months and then leaves. That's a sign. Finance is the other one. Because often what happens is, if you think about it in terms of a generic business, marketing, sales, delivery, finance. Finance is usually at the end of the funnel. So all the little bits and pieces that don't work trickle down to finance. And finance is usually the ones that have to make it work somehow because we have to bill for the services we provide. And so often that is another high pressure position we look for high turnover. Just a feeling of ambitious goals. So wanting to expand and grow, maybe a new location or a new line of services or a new product, or maybe you're a product business wanting to turn into a service business or vice versa, a service business adding a product line and taking a look at your technology and thinking, how am I going to make this work with my CRM or with my stock management? Those are usually the surface level red flags. Obviously, usually the solution is a little bit more nuanced than that, but that's what I would look out for.
Okay, awesome. So everyone who's listening, you had an idea. If you can say yes, that's me right now, there will be the link for connection with Val, of course. I will share it in description of the podcast. But before we let her go, I think you'll be happy that I'm asking this question. So what if you just really ground yourself and take a deep breath, and now forget that we're talking about business or transformation, anything in the world, what do you feel that people need to know or hear right now?
Think be curious.
Love it. Yeah, I
Be
love
curious.
that. That is very, very simple. And I would say it's always valuable because with curiosity, we can go so far in business, in life, in relationships. And we can even create more deeper connections because when you're curious about people, what happens, you have the best relationships. So, yeah, love that. Thank you so much, Val. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for joining us. And
Thank you,
for
Alex.
everyone who is listening, again, I will share everything, all valuable links and directions in the description of the podcast so you can connect with Val and find her on website and LinkedIn. So looking forward to it, and I hope we will have some great comments. Leave us some comments and questions, please. And yeah, I'm looking forward to see you next time.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you.